And welcome back to the Green Front. I wanted to get someone on from the Think Progress Institute. Climate Progress is Joseph Rome's blog, of course, and they do a great job of covering our energy issues, and every day he puts out a blog, even on the weekends. And there was a story that came across on his blog today that I was very interested in, and that's how energy efficiency and retooling America to be more efficient with our use of electricity, especially dirty electricity, is really a key. I mean, here we have such high unemployment, so many people that could be helping us make this transition that we need to make, that President Obama himself said we had to make. Remember way back in the BP oil spill days, he said we need to really lead this country and lay out a blueprint, but that never happened. That blueprint, that green print, as I call it, never quite followed all that. And then, of course, we had the Japanese disaster showing us that Mother Nature is in charge, that our sources for power, including nuclear, are not all that reliable, that where there's human beings, there's human error. And, of course, that was a perfect storm of everything that can possibly go wrong. So why not make this shift now? Why don't we get all hands on deck? Why don't we train people, get people off the streets, get them off unemployment, teach them how to put solar panels on, teach them how to really go around and make all those leaks where we're wasting electricity, wasting energy, go away. So that's what's needed. And we're going to be speaking in a moment with Jorge Madrid. He is one of the co-authors of an article on that very subject. He works closely with Joseph Rome at Think Progress and Center for American Progress is what their official title is. Just waiting for a number from him, and he'll be on the line. So I just want to invite you to tell your friends about this program. It's the best-kept secret. I like to say I'm really good at getting the hot topics on and the best people to talk about them, but not so good at promoting the show. If you'd like to join me, you can call the program by calling the Progressive Radio Network studio at 888-874-4888. It would be great to hear from you. One of these days we will get a call, I'm sure. I know there's people out there because I do get emails. I think a lot of people do listen after the fact, and that's why we don't get the calls live. It would be nice. So we're just waiting to get the phone number now. I believe we've got it, so the studio should be getting Jorge on now to talk about how we can do this. You know, there's a lot of talk about green jobs, a lot of talk about what needs to be done, and we're still stuck in a big time on fossil fuel. So how can we retool? How can we retrain? What's the nuts and bolts of that? That's what I'm interested in, and we'll be hearing from Jorge in just a moment on how to do that. So if you want to get involved, there's no shortage of events this month alone. In case you're just joining us, big event coming up from the Climate Project, Al Gore's group, which is now the Climate Reality Project. I like that name change. What do you think? That's going to be a 24-hour presentation on climate reality, showing places around the globe that are being impacted in various ways by climate change, lest anyone think it's not real. They're going to far reaches, corners of the earth, thanks to it being a YouTube world. We'll get lots of video on that, and there are going to be presentations being given for 24 solid hours. That coming up on the 24 hours between September 14th and 15th. And then we're going to also be following what happens with Moving Planet. They are going to be doing the event, as we just heard, September 24th. So waiting for Jorge. I guess I don't have the number yet. Matt, if you check your email, you should have the number there. I'm just trying to communicate with the studio here. In the meantime, I want to tell you a little bit more about America's Green Tea Party. We don't have a website up yet. It's something that we're working on now, but we do have a great response so far. People are telling us that they really resonate with the message that we need to take matters into our own hands. We can no longer wait to have our government tell us what to do. The government is not working. You may have noticed things are pretty much at an impasse. So what do we do as citizens? How do we green our routine? And there's always more ways we can do that. I've come up with 10 ways to green your routine. That will be one of the things that will be on the website. Also, if you'd like to get involved and start a America's Green Tea Party chapter in your area, I will fly anywhere and do carbon offsets as long as budget allows to start a chapter, and that would be to train Green Tea Party representatives. Mostly we've had women taking part, but it can also be men. We don't discriminate by any means, so we just want to let you know that that is available to you, and hopefully you'll tell your friends about it. Lord knows the Tea Party gets lots of opportunities to get media coverage too much, and that's one of the reasons we went with that name, even though some people said, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with anything that's got Tea Party in its name. I think that's sort of missing the point. I think the point is that media attention is what is going to, you know, turn things around. So if anything with Tea Party in it gets covered, we'll have America's Green Tea Party hopefully making the news. And when the Today Show asks us, what are we about? Are we a political party? We'll say, no, we're actually a practical alternative, because we think it's crazy to be playing politics with the planet. And while the Tea Partiers are all worked up about high taxes, we're steamed about high gases. That would be greenhouse gases. And while they're against big government and they would like to dismantle the government, just when we need it most, if nothing else, for dealing with climate change, we think that we should mostly focus on denial and stop that, because that's what's keeping us stuck here in this moment where it feels like we just cannot break through. And yet, turn on the news, open the newspaper. The weather is now the news, topping the news. So what's it going to take? Do we have Jorge on the line now? I'm hoping we do. Jorge Madrid is a co-author of an article on how we need to train more Americans to make this country a lot more energy efficient than it's been, and find out what we can do to participate in this transition. Is Jorge on the line?
Hi. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks for joining me on short notice. Been a little bit tricky trying to get you on, but I was really interested in the article that Joseph Rome posted today. He's so prolific, and every day there's three mm-hmm. or four things that I could write about, but I really was especially interested in the one that you worked on, which is how energy efficiency must have a starring role in putting America back to work. It addresses two of our most pressing problems, and that is the high jobless rate and also the need to make this country, you know, a lot more energy efficient and begin to wean ourselves off fossil fuels. So tell us a little bit about this article and where people can read more about it.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. The article, I think one of the main points that we'd like to make is we have a problem in this country, and we have leaky buildings that are not only costing us money. You know, that's money that's going right under the doors, right through the cracks in the windows. But we also have this fantastic opportunity to create jobs that are here in America. We know that these jobs are going to be very labor-intensive. We know that $1 million invested in energy efficiency outperforms an industry like the oil and gas industry in job creation, 3-to-1. And we also know that when we do these retrofits, we're using over 90% of the parts made in the U.S. Okay, so that's not only the scores of construction workers that are just desperately need work, but it's also a boost to the manufacturing industry. And we have the work that needs to be done here, so that's not jobs that you're going to be sending overseas. That's people here improving their neighborhoods, improving our infrastructure.
And Jorge, this reminds me of when I interviewed Van Jones back United Nations World Environment Day in San Francisco back in June of 2005. He had such a great approach at that time. He was calling mm-hmm. his movement Green Jobs, Not Jails. You know, win, 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 to take unemployed, underemployed youth, and Lord knows there's a lot of unemployed and underemployed adults as well now,
right.
and that's sort of the point, to train them to be part of the coming solution. And Green Jobs, you know, got him all the way to the White House, and we all know what happened thanks to Glenn Beck. And yet this is really an issue that deserves, you know, front and center attention, and obviously that's why you're working on this. Have we gone after the low-hanging fruit in terms of conservation and energy efficiency? Where are we on the spectrum in terms of what could be done, the relatively, you know, easy, painless, more, you know, cost-effective methods of changing the way we use energy and conserve it and preserve it and don't waste it?
Right. I think that the term low-hanging fruit is exactly correct, and I think that we've begun to really aggressively move towards these kinds of upgrades, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Really put down a lot of the foundation, and that's really true, I think, in the training or the retraining of workers and the creation of very innovative programs. I think the next thing that we need to do is really drive the demand. So what's really going to make this industry move is normal folks, like people listening to your radio show, creating that demand to say we want our homes to be more energy efficient. And in order to do that, we need to figure things out, like how we're going to pay for them, how we're going to finance this work. But I think we have no shortage of people that would like to do this kind of work, and what we really need to do is drive that demand. And there is some policies that are supported by both Democrats and Republicans that can move this kind of demand creation. We have federal policies, more local policies, like one recently passed in New York, allows people to finance these retrofits using through their local utility. So it's not a lot of extra paperwork, and your bill essentially stays the same, but what you're doing is you're paying for the retrofits with the savings that you're going to be realizing immediately as soon as these retrofits are put in place.
So we're not necessarily even talking about something fancy and expensive like solar panels. Hopefully the, you know, scalability of that will come, you know, will go up as the costs come down. Hasn't quite happened yet, but you're just talking about simple retrofitting.
Simple things, and in fact, that's really the beauty of it. It's very simple, very elegant solutions with technology that exists today, that is cheap and very, as I mentioned before, labor intensive. So we need folks to do this work. One example that I like to give, especially during the summertime when a lot of us are wearing sandals, is, you know, you walk up to your front door, to your garage door, and you're going to feel air on your toes, and that's coming right out the front door, and that's air that you're paying for in air conditioning. And so, you know, that can be as simple as a slip that you put underneath the door that's, you know, available at your local Home Depot or Costco. But there's a lot more involved work, like putting more caulking on your windows and blowing increased insulation, things like that. So very, very simple things, things that, in my opinion, should be done before we start deploying these things like solar power, which are also a big part of the solution. But I think before we do that, we need to make sure that the energy in our house is not going to – we're not going to produce energy that's just going to escape out the bottom of our door frames.
And there's a lot of construction workers who are out of work or, you know, have a lot less work than they did a few years back. Are they being trained, since they would be the most obvious ones because they're already familiar with building and construction and the tools of that trade?
There is a lot of programs that are training construction workers or other skilled laborers to do this kind of work. I know a lot of the unions are very involved in that. And with the recovery money, there was programs to launch these community-based training programs. So yes, there is all sorts of people that can do this kind of work, and it's really a range of skill levels and experience needed, anywhere from energy auditors who can be, you know, high school youth doing jobs after school. There's lots of really great community-based programs where someone can come in and do some of the easy work, like changing out light bulbs and taking an audit of what's called an audit of the house, which is, you know, essentially looking around the house and looking at places where energy is escaping. And that can run all the way to the more skilled workers. Obviously, you need construction workers with experience in roofing and blowing insulation and handling materials and so on and so forth. So there really is a range of skill levels that are needed to do this kind of work, and that's another part of the beauty of it is you know, it's very much inclusive to all sorts of work that need all sorts of folks that need jobs.
So this really should be a bipartisan, you know, event, really. It should be something that nobody could argue with as being a bad thing. Do you think this is a political, has this been politicized too, or do you think most people would agree that, first of all, using American, you know, manufactured products is a good thing, putting people back to work is a good thing, and jump-starting, you know, our transition to a more renewable energy-based economy is a good thing, because everything else, it seems, you know, when it relates to the environment has been politicized, but this would seem to be a no-brainer.
I absolutely agree, and I think that this makes a lot of sense to the American people. There's not a lot of partisanship that goes into the concept of making your home more cost-efficient, you know, you're lowering your utility bills. I think that's something that can help everybody out. You know, I think unemployment and struggling families, you know, at that point, I don't think partisanship is the first thing on their minds. But as you mentioned, unfortunately, I think this specific brand of work, which should be bipartisan. And to be fair, in a lot of cases, there has been historically bipartisan support for these kind of measures. But I think the tougher part is this gets folded into this bigger movement that's been identified by certain fringe groups from the conservative wing that really want to really put a stop to anything that might be related to green. They really try to vilify that word, and it's highly unfortunate because we're not talking about something that should even be partisan. It really is about creating jobs and it's about saving money.
It is short-sighted, stupid, and a lot of other words we could call it. It's stupefying, really. I'm just so perplexed. I don't get it. Tell us about the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Is there something offered there that we've not fully tapped into?
Well, I think what we're seeing is a lot of the programs, specifically the weatherization assistance programs, the energy efficiency block grant programs, specific state-based programs. Part of the frustration there is that those took a little while to ramp up, and understandably so, because in a lot of cases these programs were funded for the first time, going to scales that had not really been designed for it. So it took a while for them to design these programs, to figure out how they were going to deploy and finance them, to train the people to do this kind of work. So it was a slow pace, but now we're seeing, especially in those programs that I mentioned, a very rapid, accelerated ramp up to the point where now the weatherization assistance program is on track to meet 100% of their goal. I believe by the end of next year, they're already 80% there. They've retrofitted over 500,000 homes, and I believe on average are saving about $40 billion in energy costs in just the first year. So we're seeing a lot more progress now. It did take a while for this to ramp up, and I think that fed into a lot of the conservative talking points that are saying, well, look at, we just threw all this money down the hole, and that's in fact not true. And now we're seeing the results, I'll put in the plug for our paper here is we document, there's an entire section documenting the success of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. But I will say that was meant to be a down payment and a very significant, profound down payment on this new clean energy future. But what we need now is, for our economic system, for folks to drive the demand, to really to be requesting this kind of work that be done in their homes. And in order to do that, there's some policies currently in Congress that have received bipartisan support that help consumers finance these projects and make it easier for them to be able to have these energy efficiency upgrades to their homes.
I'm speaking with Jorge Madrid. He is a research associate with the Energy Opportunity Team at the Center for American Progress, one of my favorite think tanks. I guess you could call them progressive think tanks, and that's good because the other ones are so regressive. They always put out lots of interesting articles, and Joseph Frome, of course, has been a regular on the show in my past show for years. He is right on with his fabulous climate blog at
climate progress.
.org. Thank you. Just had a brain freeze there for a second. So, Jorge, if you were president, what would you do first? If energy efficiency is going to have a starring role in our recovery, what really, from the top down, needs to happen to make this happen quickly? We don't have a lot of time to spare. This all makes so much sense, everything you said, everything laid out in this paper, and yet, it's not reality yet. So really, what, if you could, wave your magic wand, what would you do first, second, third of priority?
Sure. First is I look at a policy that was recently passed in the state of New York. I briefly mentioned it earlier. It's called on-bill financing. It's a fantastic way for consumers to pay for these retrofits through their utility bill. There's not a bunch of extra paperwork, and you don't even see the extra charge on your bill. You're saving energy right away. That's the first thing I do. The second thing is the policy that I was referencing earlier is called there's actually three variations of it, but I'm referring to one called Homestar, which provides incentives and rebates for contractors to perform this kind of work. So it's really activating the private sector to aggressively go out and start retrofitting homes on larger scales to make it easier for consumers to do it. I think everybody really wants really buys into the notion of saving money, but it's just a matter of making it easier. And third, I would get serious. If we're going to get serious about things like clean energy, we need to get serious about making pollution and dirty energy reflect the actual cost. So we need a price on carbon, and I would also enact a clean energy standard, which says that we're going to get a certain percentage of our national energy portfolio from clean energy, like solar, like wind, geothermal, and also energy efficiency included. And we've seen over 27 states in the union already pass these kind of measures, California being one of them, and have outstanding success. So that would be my game plan.
And you would not abolish the EPA, I imagine.
Absolutely.
You think there's a role
not
to be played? A few problems
absolutely
to solve
not
still?
Well, let me tell you something, Bessie. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I remember when I was in elementary school, we'd have days where we couldn't go outside and we couldn't play on the playground. And we thought that was kind of cool because we'd get out of school early. But as an adult, you know, we're looking at it, and we see it's because the air was so terrible that it was not safe for a young child to be outside running around. And I think that's deplorable, and I think that that's a direct result of the kind of dirty energy economy that we've built this country around, and I think that we have a chance to make it right. And the EPA is the cop on the beat that's protecting us, and we really need to see the big picture, because we're paying for this on the back end with just devastating public health costs, asthma, cancer, respiratory disease, the things that are making us sick, and burning fossil fuels for energy makes us sick, and at some point we really have to come to terms with that, and I truly do believe that the EPA is not only protecting public health, but if we want to put a price tag on it, it's also diverting all these costs that would have otherwise went to treating things like childhood asthma and really creating an inefficient economy where folks can't even go to work and kids can't run around outside.
And speaking of feeling sick, what was your reaction on Friday to President Obama kind of passing the buck on regulations that would crack down on pollution just when we need the most?
I was disappointed personally. I think that it was a moment that the administration could show very strong leadership and really show that they weren't afraid of the big polluting industries. I mean, I think it's no secret that the big polluting industries have very deep pockets, and I think as just an ordinary citizen, not even an employee of a think tank, but as an ordinary citizen, it's very deplorable for me to think that a polluting industry can essentially buy their influence. I'd like to think that the administration and I do believe that the administration, you know, is taking a very close and careful look at this. So I don't think that the fight is over. I certainly don't think that they've given up on it. But that being said, I really would like to see a strong leadership coming out of the administration, and I think that punting it down the road is the wrong strategy to take.
Okay, and since President Obama alone will have the decision ultimately on tar sands, Keystone Pipeline, what do you think he will do? We saw a really strong show of opposition. I'm sure he noticed it. It did finally get mainstream media attention as it deserves. And yet, you know, if you believe the State Department, there's no significant environmental impact to worry about, and it probably will be approved if it's, you know, any indication of what's been going on in the past. I mean, if any indication, if it passes any indication, it looks like he probably will approve it. How detrimental would that be? Why is this such a key issue? And we just have about 2 minutes left. If you could give me your quick thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that the folks with a conscience need to we need to back the president up here. And if the if president isn't doing the right thing, I think we need to let him know that this is unacceptable. And so. you know, I really think that a big part of this falls on advocates and folks really being able to tell the true story. And yes, I think that this is going to put us on track for our economy to continue to be tied to this fossil fuels, to fuels that are unsafe, unstable. And quite frankly, I don't think we can make the argument that we don't want any natural gas, but this is really just going to be one of those crossroad moments where we're going to put ourselves on a path to continue to burn fossil fuels when we could be using that money to dramatically reduce our energy usage and also to build the kind of infrastructure that's going to make our economy more efficient, more competitive. I think the money can be better used elsewhere.
The height of fossil foolishness, I'm sure you'd agree. Well, thank you so much for your comments, Jorge. I want to direct our listeners to climateprogress.org. Center for American Progress just does a fabulous job of staying on top of what America needs to do to progress, not regress, especially on the energy and climate fronts. I can't think of, there are very few issues that I think are more critical. I'm sure you agree if you're listening to the Green Front. And they're really right on top of the political scene, the scientific realities, media, which is my favorite passion, what is not being covered and how it's being distorted on certain networks. And you hear a lot about that on the Green Front. And we have to wrap up, so I will just thank you so much for joining me on short notice, Jorge Madrid. Thanks for your great work there and for that great article. And there will be a link on our site and my site at thegreenfront.com. You can also listen to the archives at the Progressive Radio Network.
Thank you for having me, Betsy. You have a good day.
You too. Have a great green day to all of you. And thanks to the studio back in New York. See you next time. And we will expect to have perhaps Al Gore or somebody with the Climate Reality Project talking about that big event, which will be underway next Wednesday. Thank you.